We are not meant to live in the dark. And if you've ever seen true darkness, I mean the complete absence of light, I think you probably know what I mean by that. There was one lady I read about who decided she was going to descend into a cave and just see how long she could live in total darkness. So she took some camping gear and a lantern. She walked deep in the cave. She got deep enough that there was no light to be seen anywhere. Then she just turned off the lights. And she sat there. And this is what she experienced. She said, "My thoughts earthworm down inside my body, chewing through my inner architecture. It was a feeling of being peeled open, turned inside out. I felt the rhythmic clenchings of my heart, my lungs ballooning inside my ribs, my epiglottis flapping open and shut. In the absence of sight, my other senses bloomed. The sound of the stream, which I'd barely noticed when I entered the cave, now filled the whole chamber, unfurling in effusive patterns. Smells, mud, damp limestone, thickened to the point of feeling material. I could taste the cave. When a drop of water fell from the ceiling and burst on my forehead, I almost jumped out of my sleeping bag." See, we aren't meant to live in the dark. And when you do, there can be hallucinations and disorientation. It's consuming. But she's not the first one to figure that out. Back in the 50s, they did a series of tests. As they tested subjects, and they deprived them of all their senses. So they covered their eyes, they covered their ears, they even covered their hands. And then they just observed what happened, and the subjects reported incredible hallucinations. Crazy things. One saw actually a second version of himself that over time kind of creeped closer and closer and became one with them. Another saw like a parade of squirrels. I mean, weird things. But it wasn't just while they were in the dark that they saw this. It even disoriented them after. One volunteer, after he finally tapped out, went to the bathroom, and he got lost. Someone actually had to lead him back out of the bathroom again. Couldn't find his way out. There was another one who got lost on his drive home, a drive he had taken all kinds of times. And in 2007, there's a study that tried to explain why. It was in Popular Science magazine. It talked about a study done in Frankfurt, Germany, where they took a subject and they actually had a chance to measure her brain activity as she sat in the darkness. The woman's name was Marietta Schwartz. She volunteered to sit there blindfolded for 22 days. And she recorded what she saw, and then they actually had a chance to monitor her brain function. And she recorded hallucinations. She saw like bright amoeba, yellow cloud, animal prints, abstract shapes, that kind of thing. But they said that her visual cortex, it lit up. That to her brain, it's as if she was seeing those things like I'm standing in front of you today. According to the article, it's because your brain is overloaded with stimuli all the time. You take the stimuli away and it just creates its own. Whatever the case, we are not meant to live in the dark. It is disorienting. And it is consuming. There are all kinds of studies out today that talk about how deaths of despair are on the rise. One study from Florida Atlantic University talked about how from the period between 1999 and 2021, the percentage of deaths and despair, that they rose by 2.5-fold. There's other studies like it. Because the darkness isn't just disorienting, it is consuming. See, the Bible talks about life without Christ. It calls it life in the dark. And I think you can see that, can't you? I mean, you can see the way the world talks about something like right and wrong. But without the light of Christ there, without God's word, even though it's something that we know by nature, even though their conscience is screaming at him, it's amazing how blurry that line gets. You can see the way the world around us without Christ will try to find meaning and purpose and fulfillment in life. And yet they'll try to find it in all the wrong places, as if they're chasing hallucinations in the dark. You'll watch as people try to find community in an online community, but they find it in all the wrong places, in places where it's just division and anger and being against this or being against that, things that by nature rip you apart. Even when they talk about spiritual things, can't you see it? Even when they talk about spiritual things, You can see it's as if they're tripping over the light in the dark. There was one podcast I saw between two intellectuals, and they're having a conversation. And at the end of it, the one asks the other, if you were to give advice to a young couple, what would you tell them to do? And do you know what he said? He said, I'd tell them to go to church. And the other guy laughed. He said, why? You don't believe any of it. And he said, yeah, I know, but there's just something about stepping back, considering your place in the world. It makes you a better person, he said. And as he talked, it struck me how it's like there were two people in a cave, and there the lantern was, huh, that could light their way. But instead of picking it up to light their way, they just kicked it down the cavern. Because the darkness is disorienting. And as we said before, it is consuming. We are not meant to live in the dark. And Jesus, he saved us from that. And in Colossians, he talks about how he pried us from the grip in the darkness. He says this, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. See, we were not made to live in the dark. And the Holy Spirit, through word and sacrament, he has turned on the lights for us, so that you and I, we have seen the image of the invisible God, it says. Because Jesus is God seen. And on Christ the King Sunday, we have a chance to think about all the ways we've seen God seen, huh? The image of the invisible God. We saw the image of the invisible God in a manger on Christmas. We saw the image of the invisible God as a 12-year-old boy in the temple. We saw the image of the invisible God walking through Israel, healing the sick, raising the dead, nailed to a cross, risen from the dead, ascending into heaven. He is God seen. See, Jesus is the light because he is God seen. And he is the light of all creation because he is the one who made creation. It says there simply is nothing, no matter how big, how small, how great, how little, how visible, how invisible. There is nothing that was not created by him and through him and for him. He is its rhyme and its reason. He is its purpose. You see, Jesus is both before all things, outside of all things, transcendent over all things, and he is also in the middle of all things, the thing that holds all things together. He is both the author, the originator, the agent, the reason, and the linchpin of all that you see. And he is what binds us together. The nature of our relationship here is that we are part of an eternal family, the Holy Christian Church. And when he walked out of that grave, he wasn't just the first one to walk out of the grave. He was the beginning of a parade of humanity that will rise from the dead just as Jesus rose from the dead. It says he is a supremacy. So there is nothing without him. Nothing that is that he is not over and greater than, and that he is also not in the middle of. He is the firstborn from the dead, the rhyme and the reason of all that there is, the thing that binds us together. So yeah, without Christ, it's only darkness. And of course, that darkness is disorienting, and of course, that darkness is consuming. What else could it be? And as you said before, God rescued us from that. But that darkness, it can still pull us in, can't it? See, time after time, you and I have an opportunity to look at seeing what God's Word says, to attend a Bible study, to come to church, to read the Bible on your own, to do a home devotion, and to see the light, the truth of God's Word. And yet, isn't it funny how often then we'll go and we'll live our lives as if nothing we read has anything to do with what happens there? I mean, we know that meaning and purpose and fulfillment are only found in Christ, not in all the hallucinations that the world chases after. And yet, isn't it amazing how often we try to find it in those things, in who we surround ourselves with, or our experiences, or what we accomplish, or whatever, and we're surprised when it makes us miserable? We know that there is no connection that can be found outside of Christian love, outside of God's forgiveness, outside of the love of Christ. And yet we still try to form community on the basis of gossip, on the basis of being against someone, a common enemy, things that by nature drive us apart. We know we're strangers here. We know heaven is our home. And yet we still live our life as this world is all there is, like so much of the dark world around us. It's as if we like to turn on the lights once in a while to get our bearings, and then we like to turn them off to try to navigate this world like some kind of a cosmic game of pin the tail on the donkey, but this is not a game. And that darkness is real. Jesus came and he had to pry us from its grips, and it cost him his life. And too many times God has watched people that he rescued from the darkness walk back in. Too many times he's watched people who he's shown what the purpose and meaning, fulfillment of life is, chase it in the hallucinations of the darkness. Too many times he's watched God's people wander away from the light. And we are not meant to live in the dark. You know, our gospel lesson seems like a pretty dark scene. Because it's God in the flesh. He's the image of the invisible God. And there he is, and he's nailed to a cross, suspended before the world. He's suffering and dying. And do you remember what the joke of the day was? That this is a king of the Jews. And yet never had the light shone brighter, because that is Jesus doing what we need him to do. Look what Paul says about it. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You see, Jesus on that cross in Luke 23 is that rescue mission, and it consisted in redemption. A price paid for the debt we owe to a holy God. And the result, as Paul says, is this. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. In a world at war with itself, in lives where we're constantly in conflict with others, he has reconciled all things to him. You see, life with the lights on doesn't mean you necessarily understand everything that's happening. It doesn't mean you see everything coming down the pike. But you do know him, and you know he's on your side. And that's the difference for that person on the cross, isn't it? Because for that criminal next to Jesus on the cross, it should have been nothing but darkness. Because after all, he was being crucified next to Jesus, and he was suffering next to Jesus, and his life was also ebbing away. Did you notice what he says? He doesn't make excuses. He doesn't plead for his life. He just offers a simple prayer. Remember me. And that day, he saw Jesus in heaven. For as dark as that scene was, he saw it with the lights on. Today, we live in a world with terrible natural disasters, with illnesses that just come out of nowhere, they upend our lives, with deformities and other kind of tragedies like that. And to see life with the lights on does not mean I understand God's eternal purpose in all of it. It doesn't mean I can find a good in every evil or a right in every wrong. It doesn't mean I ever get any of the wisdom of any of it, but it does mean I know him, the firstborn over all creation, and I know that there is nothing that does not fall beneath his authority, nothing that he is not over, and nothing that he is also not in the midst of. And I know he's on my side. So we have nothing to fear. That is life with the lights on. Last week for Saints Triumphant Sunday, we got together and we looked at all the names up on the screen, all the people that had died that were such a part of our lives. And we stood there shoulder to shoulder, we looked into the grave, and we saw it with the lights on. We knew that just as Jesus rose from the dead, we will too, because he didn't just walk out of the grave, he's the firstborn from the dead. The beginning of a parade of humanity that will rise just as Jesus rose. And we also know that one day it's going to be our name on that screen. But we see that with the lights on too. That just as that criminal crucified next to Jesus saw Jesus that day, so also when our day comes, we will too. That is life with the lights on. It does not mean I'm never surprised. It does not mean I'll never grieve. It does not mean I understand everything that happens or that I can always see a right in every wrong or a good in every evil. But it does mean I know him. The firstborn from the dead, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And it means I know where I stand with him, redeemed, reconciled, forgiven. Which means I know he's on my side. And that is life with the lights on. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Emmanuel's Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Emmanuel, you can follow us on Facebook or visit us at imluth.org. That's immluth.org. Have a great day.